Good morning. How about the bass? The bass in that video, that's outstanding. That's something else. What a sound system we have to be able to put that bass. But hey, church, good morning. So it's a joy to be with you all this morning. Like Sam said, Sam did a great job kind of explaining. This is a little bit different here this morning. So if you've come here for the first time, or this is a little bit different, we're doing things different. But we want to encourage you. It's going to be a great morning. So I hope your expectations are high, and we're expecting the Holy Spirit to do some things in our lives this morning. Recently, I have been traveling a lot. And why recently, since about December, just traveling a lot, driving all over Pittsburgh, in and out of the towns, and I use an app called Waze. How many of you use Waze? How many use Google Maps? How many don't need a map, you just got it like that? Some of you, okay, that's good. Pastor Larry, I see that hand. But in that, I rely on those that that navigational system to maneuver my family and myself around the city of Pittsburgh, and there's always just a little construction, and so it helps me get around that, and so I rely on that navigational system sometimes to get me from point A to point B. And here's the thing: in the Christian faith, we have this thing called the Holy Spirit, who was promised to us by Jesus and given to us as this one who is, it's God's positioning system for our lives. It helps us to kind of navigate through life's stuff, life's journey, life's adventure. It's what he gives us to do that. And so I just want to say, like, this morning, as we come this morning into this place, and we had a beautiful time worship, seeing those kids just singing out. It was beautiful. But my hope and prayer this morning for each one of us is that we would submit our lives to the Holy Spirit, that we let the Holy Spirit just navigate our lives and to walk in God's ways. And in so many different times, what happens is that we say, I'm going to do it, and we push that aside. We just kind of push the Holy Spirit aside and say, we're going to do things. And I don't know about you, and I've done this in my own life, where when I do that, I mess things up. I take wrong turns. I go the wrong way. And you know, so there's a gift that was promised to us from Jesus in the Holy Spirit. And so it's this navigational system. And we're going to look at this today. We're going to look at what it means to understand the prophetic, what it means to understand this understanding of God's gift of the Holy Spirit to us. And one of those ways, one of those gifts, is called the prophetic. And I've really come to really love and understand and appreciate the culture here at Bridge City Church more and more. And it's really helped sharpen my understanding more and just having more conversations with people. And so that's what we want to do with you this morning. We want to help you have an experience with the Holy Spirit. We want to help realign and get recentered, or just back on the right path, okay? That's our hope and prayer this morning. So I don't know what you came in here with. I don't know what your week was like, but my hope and prayer is that you'd sit back for just the next 10 minutes or so. We're going to look and look what Scripture has to say to us about the Holy Spirit and prophetic words and giftings and prayer in and of itself, and Jesus' actual terms of what the Holy Spirit is. And so that's my hope and prayer, is that you're encouraged. As Sam said, you're going to have an opportunity at the end of this, or through the rest of the service. We're asking that you kind of examine yourself and say, hey, what are the areas in my life right now today that I need prayer for? How many of you need prayer this morning? I know I need prayer. And so we're going to have stations up before you, but I want you to think about this as we think about this, the Holy Spirit. Many times in our lives we do this, that we quench the Spirit. If you take the hose, I've used this here before, a hose that has just, it's flowing naturally. What happens when you kink it or you pinch it, right? The flow can't get through. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 20 says this. It says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. I'm going to say that again. Do not quench the Spirit, or block the Spirit, or stop the Spirit from going, and do not despise prophecy. And quench, another way to say that is to extinguish. To extinguish. And a lot of times in our life, with the decisions that we make or the decisions that we don't make, we can quench the Spirit. Have you ever done that in your life? Where you've reached a point in your week and you're quenching the Spirit. Or you haven't spent an ounce of time with God, and you're just doing things in your own way. And that's kind of quenching the Spirit. And that's what it is. It's quenching the Spirit. It's extinguishing the Spirit. if you take the biblical word for quench, it's extinguishing. As we think about what the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit is like, one of the biblical imagery of Holy Spirit is fire. So when we quench the Spirit, we put that fire out. Think about what are the ways in your life today or right now or you have in the past that you've extinguished the Holy Spirit in your life. And God wants to set us on fire for Him. He wants to set us on fire for Him to live a life that is different than the way the world looks. And so when we do our own thing and kind of go about our own business, we extinguish and we put that fire out. And God wants us to put us ablaze and wants to use the Holy Spirit in our lives. It says, do not despise. Do not despise. In other words, that could mean reduce to nothing. Treat with contempt. There's a lot of thinking in the church, the big church, big C, Church Universal, that they treat the Holy Spirit as this kind of separate entity. They reduce it to nothing. It's like a tripod with only two legs. It's not going to work. And so this passage here is Paul saying to the church in Thessalonica, do not despise. Don't treat with contempt. In other words, seek it. Seek the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit into your life. And so it says prophecies. Prophecy, another word for that, is to speak forth. God used prophecy in the Old Testament, and He used it in the New Testament and today. But it's to speak forth. It's to bring knowledge. It's to bring wisdom. It's to bring encouragement. It's to bring these things to life in our lives that we need to hear. Sometimes we're so blinded that we need someone else, the God, to use someone else to speak it forth and out that way. So what is prophecy? Prophecy is not it's not predictive or fortune telling, but it's interpretive, right? That's what it is. It's interpreting the word of God in the movement of the Holy Spirit. It's declaring, like Lauren just did over our students and over our schools and our teachers, it's declaring forth God's word on His people, that He would bring counsel to God's people. And so when you hear someone give a prophetic word, that's what it's doing. It's bringing wisdom. It's bringing counsel. It's declarative. It's not supposed to predict the future. It's not supposed to do those things, tell you who you're going to marry. It's not supposed to do those things. But what it's doing is it's encouraging you and pointing you and moving you closer to God. So that's what a prophetic word does. Amen? In 1 Corinthians 13, 9 through 10, it says this, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away." And so there's this time will come where these prophetic words were given on this time of earth, but there's going to be a time when Christ comes back where these words they'll just be there. We'll just understand and see God for who He really is, and we'll see ourselves how God really intrinsically made us. And that's an exciting thing. So when we hear that, the prophetic is part of that. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul talks to the Corinthian church here, and he says this in verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 3. "Let love," say love, "let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy." Verse 2, "For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be only talking to God. Since people won't be able to understand you, you will be speaking by the power of the Holy, by the power of the Spirit, but it will be mysterious." Verse 3, "But one who prophesies," listen to these descriptives. This is what prophecy does, okay? This is our hope and prayer this morning for all of you. But, verse 3, "But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them." So strengthens, encourages, comforts. This is what a prophetic word. It does these things. It strengthens us, encourages us, and comforts us. How many of you need that in your life right now? I need that. That's what we want to do today. We want to encourage you. We want to strengthen you in your walk, and we want to comfort you, whatever you're going through. We're providing this space to do that. The Holy Spirit is already here. The Holy Spirit is already here. It's going to move upon us. And listen, I just encourage you to just open your heart to say, "God, what do you have for me today?" That you just don't idly sit back in those seats, but you just get up and move forward into what God has for you. So we want to strengthen, encourage, and comfort you. Hebrews 4:2 says this, "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not unified by faith with those who listen." And so we're called to listen. We're going to be unified in this. When we hear this prophetic word, it's supposed to bring us together. I know my first time here when I moved back to this area and we had a prophetic weekend, one of the beautiful things I saw at Bridge City Church was the church coming together. They were unified by faith.
and the Holy Spirit was moving on people. I have a recorded word that was given to me 2 years ago almost now, and I look back at it and I'm like, that is amazing what God is doing. So that's what a prophetic word is supposed to do. It helps us to be unified by faith. We're called to step out in faith to have these words. Look at this. 1 Corinthians, jump down to this, if you could, Joe. Four ways to test a prophetic word. Four ways to test a prophetic word. And so when you hear this, when someone maybe at church or you're at a different place and they give you a prophetic word, they're trying to give you encouragement or strengthen you or and equip you, this is what they're saying, or comfort you. This is what they're saying. So we have to ask the question, is what they're saying biblical? Can I take that word and put it through the lens of Scripture and apply it to my life, right? We have to test it, that word that's given to us, through the lens of Scripture, amen? So that's why it's important to know your Bible, but it's also to go back to the Bible to see what it has to say. How about this? The second way to test a prophetic word is, what does it confirm or affirm what is already resonating in your heart and life? You know, when I was in a high school kid, when I was contemplating the call to ministry, I had leaders that were confirming and affirming my gift ability to go into ministry. Obviously, I was rough around the edges, but they were saying, yes, I see that in you. And so when you hear a prophetic word, you have to ask the question, does that confirm or affirm what is already resonating in my heart and in my mind and in my life? And so when you hear that, when it lines up, that alignment is a beautiful thing. The third thing, what is God's part in this word? And then what is my part or your part in the word? So if a word is given to you, how is God functioning and moving and the Holy Spirit moving? And then what is your part? You know, we have to take some ownership of our faith. And when God calls us, he calls us to take that step of faith. So there's two parts there. What is God's part and what is your part? So when you're given a word, these are great questions. I encourage you to take a picture of that if you haven't already. And then fourth, what do those in authority say? Who are those in authority of you? Well, that could be campus pastors, a lead pastor, a missions pastor. It could be your connection group leader. It could be a mentor or a coach or somebody that has influence in your life, and you hear words of wisdom from them, you're going to test it by that. So we start with Scripture, and then we go around and to see what those in authority can kind of confirm that in us. Ephesians 17:20, it says this, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Yeah, I'll say. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. And here's the thing we got to do in verse 20, and give thanks for everything. Giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is continued filling that needs to happen in our lives. That we're open and receptive and teachable and moldable. That we want that in our lives. Are you asking to be continually filled this morning? Because that's what God wants to do. He has sent us his Holy Spirit. He wants to continually fill you this morning. So if you're missing that, we're going to provide you an opportunity just here in a minute to have that. We're just going to have, just pray for the Holy Spirit. Listen, I want you to understand this. When we go back to the Bible, what does the Bible say? These are the words of Jesus himself, right? These are the descriptives that he says of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask Aaron and the worship team, and if you're on the prayer teams, you can start going to your different stations. But listen to what Jesus says. Listen to what Jesus says about who the Holy Spirit is and what he is like. And so when we think of the Holy Spirit, maybe some of us are like, I never thought of it that way. I never thought of him that way. But here's the thing. Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit. He calls him Comforter. He's comfort those that are mourning and going through some stuff. He provides comfort to our lives. He's a counselor, someone that provides wisdom and insight into our lives that we may need at a special time. It's a confirming of Jesus' words and teachings. If we go and look at the gospel, the Holy Spirit confirms all of those teachings that Jesus says in those red letters. He's close by our side. He's close beside us, that we're never alone. Do you understand that? If you've ever felt alone in your faith, I have. But here's the thing. When we understand what the Holy Spirit, his role is, he is with us. He is with us always. Jesus is with us. And so he promises us this Holy Spirit. He's right by us. He convicts us of sin. This is more than the little angel and the demon on the shoulder, the cartoon say. No, this is more than that. that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin that we're dealing with and going through in our life. And we have to deal with that and repent of that and go the other way. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts us of the sin in our lives. Maybe some of you today are wrestling and dealing with some sin, and you need to repent of that and turn away from that life of sin and go to Christ. Jesus says this, one of the roles that the Holy Spirit does, he sets the captives free. That if you're living in bondage to sin, the Holy Spirit sets you free from that to live a life of victory, to live a life of freedom, to live a life of abundance in and through him. But it only happens when we submit our lives. When we slow down and say, God, I'm a wreck. I got to deal with the stuff in my heart and my mind. I want that freedom. And so here's the thing, friends. Listen, I beg you this morning. I encourage you this morning. Let me say it that way too. That if you're dealing with stuff and you feel captive to it, don't just sit back here. Submit that to the Lord. He wants to set you free from that stuff. He wants to set you free whatever you're dealing with right now. You're not meant to do that on your own. You're not meant to do that on your own. And that's the greatest gift we get through the Holy Spirit, is he's going to set us free. But you've got to want it. You've got to want that. And you've got to be willing to say, I'm tired of this old way. I got to go a different direction. So listen, here's what we're going to do. I want you to maintain the attitude of worship. Where I grew up, we used to say, mind God. Say, mind God. Mind God. This is a place of reverence. This is a place of worship. And this isn't some place for you to just talk to your neighbor right now or check your phone or just check out. If you're going to do that, just sit there quietly. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to have this as a place of worship, and we're going to pray. And whatever you're dealing with, as Aaron and the team leads us in song, and this is just a place of worship, that if you need prayer for physical or spiritual healing, you're going to come up to this corner for physical and spiritual healing. You're going to come down the middle and go this way. In the back, there's Ed back there, and I'll be back there with Ed. We're going to be doing intercessory prayer, praying for our kids, our families, our country, all kinds of stuff. Whatever we're going to pray on behalf is the intercessory prayer. It's quite simply the act of praying on behalf of others. If you want to do that, we're going to pray with you back there. In the other corner, we have Pastor Gary and Larissa for infilling of the Holy Spirit. What does infilling mean? That means to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit may give you freedom and victory. Maybe you in your life and your sin, you've been quenching the Holy Spirit. They're going to pray with you to help you have victory and freedom in that this morning. But if you want to, that's got to be between you and God. But they're that back there to pray with you. And then we have these beautiful people here to give you prophetic words, to comfort, to encourage, to strengthen you. And as you come up, I encourage you to bring your phone on silent, but record what they're saying so that you can go back to it and listen what they're saying. They're going to give you a prophetic word. They're going to speak into your life, and they're going to encourage and strengthen and equip you, okay? That's what they're going to do. So if you need a prophetic word, and I encourage, here's the thing, you don't just have to do one. You could do all four. You can do all four, Sam. We don't have to just do the one. We can do all of them. So I'm going to encourage you, just as you're just sitting there, just pray, do business with God, listen to the music, sit there, soak in the Holy Spirit's presence. But here's what I want to ask you to do. Don't just sit there and do nothing. Move, because God wants to give you victory this morning. Amen. So let me pray, and then Aaron's going to begin to just pray, and Aaron's going to be going to lead us in song and play in the background. But you can get up right where you are and just come down the aisle and go to the different four corners. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the conviction that it brings to our lives, Lord, that we're not living and walking in your ways. So, Father, I just pray for your Holy Spirit to fall fresh upon us as it's already here, that your Holy Spirit is here, that we wouldn't just sit here and do nothing, but, Lord, we'd be moved to action, that we'd be moved to stepping out of faith, that we would get a prophetic word, or we would get the filling of the Holy Spirit, or praying on behalf of others in intercessory. And, Lord, if we have spiritual and physical healing, may we get up and ask for help. And so, Father, may you, prayer, not be the spare tire, but may, Lord, be the steering wheel in our lives. And so, Father, move upon us right now in Jesus' name.
So as God moves on you, feel free to come forward. You can come down the middle aisle and go to whatever section you need. And I encourage you can do one, you can do all four.